Blog Talk Radio. you are. Got 20/20 vision, and I still don't see your flaws. I said you make me feel good, and you ain't even touching my baby. A1, I ain't gonna trade you in for nothing. And now I'm doing the most, doing the most, making sure I keep your attention, baby. I'm true in the post, true in the post. I'm in the paint with the baddest intentions. You bet that I mention, baby, you bet. With my eyes open, there's no one better, there isn't. Never left it, I'm glad that you did. Body like a queen, but it ain't about your body, baby, it's about your being. I ain't rolling up, but I'm on a high. When you really think about it, ain't no wonder why. I'm so down for you. Thank you.
Awesome device. Yes, good people, ladies and gentlemen, all in between, binary and non-binary, everyone, welcome to 250 Radio Universe Presents The War Council, Dating in the Digital Age Part 2, excuse me, recovering from a serious chest cold. I'm on the tail end of it, so you probably hear me cough. I'll probably mute myself a lot during the course of the conversation, so you don't hear it. But I just got finished taking some incredibly huge horse pills that should assist me during the thing. But we are not overloaded, so we will not be doing that today. However, let me make sure this music is good. Hold on. All right, so just so that you know, War Council, right, is a conscious, creative, egalitarian panel of men and women come together to discuss issues affecting our community, our fear, relationships, so on and so forth. All right, so what we like to do is we like to discuss topics that can have effect. Now, please understand, right, none of what we discuss is for you to live by. It's a constitutionally protected speech here. Anything that you hear is not for you to sit there and say, oh, I heard it from professionals. Some of us are professionals, but we are not applying our professionalism or risking our licenses here. We are having conversations we're here, and you're welcome to join. So please feel free to make sure that you do that. More importantly, make sure that you understand exactly what it is. Now, we're running it back because we had such a good response to part one. So for this one, we are covering physical and emotional catfishing. What is the role of a real man and a real woman? Dating broke or below income and expectations and love versus financial stability. And we'll be talking about dating with intention, and specifically marriage. All right? So be prepared. Let me introduce you to the panel as we come through. And I'm going to open everybody's mic. So first up, it's good brother Wendell. Big brother Wendell, how are you, good brother?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I'm glad to be here. Peace to the family. Glad to be on another War Council with all y'all.
Mm-hmm. And happy birthday, because it was his birthday that passed by. We'll make sure we gotta celebrate that too. We're gonna bring that.
Right, yeah. Appreciate it, brother.
All day. And then we're gonna bring in the station manager of 50 Radio. That would be Mr. Van Meadows.
Hey, 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 hey! What is going on, War Council family? The panel, Mojave, Wendell. It's good to be another episode of the War Council. Excited for this show. Glad to be here.
All right, all right, all right. And then we're going to go to one of my favorite, Billy Jones, the entire universe, one of my besties, Miss Danielle. Miss Danielle, are you there?
Hi, beautiful people. I'm here. How y'all doing tonight? All right.
Great, how are you?
All right.
All good,
right.
Good.
We're cooking with gas. We're cooking with gas right now. I'm telling you. Then we're going to go to my favorite Texas song, the best of the best in the West, Joan Quinita Mel White. How are you?
I am doing well. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, good evening. That's what's up. All right, we're going to go over to VA, and we're going to scoop up the lipped one. Beautiful lips, Lisa Lips. Are you there?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, baby.
Hey, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? All right.
For tonight.
Of course. We're going to get going. And of course. We got the good brother, Dawood.
Peace, brother. How you doing?
What's happening?
You sound terrible.
I'm trying to drink to keep my throat, whatchamacallit. Cool. Now, I know somebody's on the thing, but I wasn't sure, but I'm going to hop on back channel to go figure that is, because I'm not sure who that was, because normally that's you, but I know somebody's calling in. Now, if they're part of the War Council, because I see the 111, and they probably use an exchange to call in, please press 1 so you can move up, and we can see where you are, and that I know that you're here, so, you know, we can get going. So, anyway, good people. We keeping everybody's mics open. We know the rules and respect each other. Respect commentation. Please allow people to finish. Land your plane as soon as you can. You know, circle if you got to, but make sure that you make your point. Everybody's in on it. I don't have to talk to y'all. Y'all know what it is. Y'all a wise bunch of people. It's good. So let's get into it. Y'all ready?
Absolutely.
Let's go.
Yes,
all right.
Sir.
So let's start with this. Catfishing. Let's start with the catfishing. We're going to allow a small amount of time. This is the smallest amount of time we're going to spend on every other topic. This is the smallest one. All right, catfishing. Catfishing. So, physical and the deepest part, emotional catfishing. Have you been catfished? Has someone fooled you into thinking that that is? Now, in the realm of catfishing, we're also going to include cockfishing. Include that for the ladies.
Oh my!
Cockfishing for the ladies. It's important. I didn't want to say it before we got on the show because I knew it was going to blow up in the chat. But I was like, nah, I'm going to wait to the show and say it. We're going to include cockfishing, and fellas, we're going to include the emotional catfishing. Because of certain women employing things and making it seem as if they were completely into the situation, and then when you got close, she was like, "Oh, this is ugly as hell. This is not anything that I thought it was at all." And you fooled me. You know, this also includes being duped into dates and being converted into food dudes. That's a lot. All right, so I'm just going to throw that out there to get started. Anyone can answer, have you been catfished? And you can speak whatever level of catfishing you'd like, from cockfishing to emotional catfishing. So who's first?
I'll jump out first.
Go ahead.
I actually just dealt with this. I had someone in my inbox on Instagram and came with the same sob stories that you always get, and I called him out on it. I was like, okay, I'm not playing this game with you because I know where this is going. And I read the whole scenario out to him. I was like, I know you're going to play this little sympathy game and try and get me caught up. And then when I get caught up, you're going to just play this little head game, and I'm not for any of it. And he had a total fit, cussed me out because I wouldn't play the game. But yeah, I saw what was headed my direction, you know. So I'm like, nah, we not doing that, because I've been down that road. I have been catfished in the past, so that's why I know all the steps. So as soon as I saw, you know, certain things he was saying in the chat, I knew this was a catfish thing, and I was like, okay, nah, that's all right. But I caught him up in it, and literally, like, within the last hour, just got cussed out because I called him on it.
Wow. I'd like to say that emotional catfishing is toxic as fuck. Does anyone else like to add to that?
Yeah. You know what?
go ahead, Danielle.
There was one particular guy, and I knew he was lying from, not from the door, but very early on in our conversation. Like, this guy thinks I don't know music. And he was claiming these musicians, and I knew who they were. I knew of them, and he was claiming them to be family. Or he wrote these songs, and I had never heard him perform. I know he's a musician. I know he's a poet, among other things, but I had never heard him perform before, so I didn't know what his voice sounded like. But when he loaded particular song inbox and told me he just wrote this, and I know this song from a couple years ago, I'm like, oh, okay, I see. All right. That's about as close as I got to being catfished. That was it. It was just conversation-wise. Other than that, I haven't experienced any of the other parts, the emotional or the actual meet-up with somebody looking one way, and when you meet up with them, they look a whole different other way.
Van.
Emotional catfishing. Yes. One of my ex-wives literally emotionally catfished me for, you might as well say, the entire marriage, which lasted 7 to 8 years, until she really told me how she felt about me when she wanted a divorce. So yeah. I've definitely been caught up in that. But I vowed that I would never get caught up in it again.
Wow. Who's that, Dawood?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
I literally just went through that. The emotional catfishing. And it was like, I want to say just last month. And basically, the whole time the person had somebody in the background, and I knew they had somebody in the background. So what they tried to do is they tried to put me on the shelf. And they wanted me to spend a lot of non-intimate, non-sexual time with them, and even tried to discourage me talking to them, knowing full well that they had some dude in the background that they were sighted with on many occasions. Basically, I knew what they was doing. So what I did was is I kept pressing so that they would have to make a decision. So finally, what they tried to do is they tried to throw a meme and a whole big paragraph of subliminals on Facebook. And I just laughed. And I hit the unfollow button and let them know that you could talk to yourself. But I knew that that's what they was doing from Jump Street. I just played the cat and mouse game until they revealed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why couldn't you keep it real? Why couldn't you just say, hey, listen, I'm still dealing with such and such so-and-so, and when I'm free, I'd like to deal with you. But nah, they tried to play the whole game.
Wow.
And the Facebook meme was funny as hell because they said a whole bunch of personal stuff, and I just was like, goodbye.
Wow.
So emotional catfishing is real. If you haven't gone through certain situations, you don't have a reference point to spot it, and that's what I think is the most dangerous about it.
Sir.
Yeah, Joan or Wendell, do you have anything you want to add to this?
Well, I'm going to just jump in because he said, you know, if you've never experienced it, and I think that on some levels, each relationship that I've been in, it has been experienced so that when I'm experiencing it in a new relationship, it allows me to jump out of that relationship a lot faster. And so the last time it really, really happened to me, I was going through a lot of transition. I had a lot of sickness and death and just kind of around me. And so I was really trying to hold on to things that seemed steady. And so that was my fault, right? So I will own that. But what happened was it was someone who presented themselves as emotionally available to me. And then I recognized that once the thing started transitioning, like the people actually, they moved from sickness to like transition and passing on, they really were not available to and for me. Like they were available to a certain extent, and then, you know, it became too much. I can't come to the funeral. I can't do this. I'm not available. And so, you know, I found myself in a very hurt situation, but when I was able to kind of peel back the layers and look at what actually transpired, it was they were available to the extent that they wanted to be available, and it was kind of what I needed in that moment. And so all of the other things were kind of going away for me. I would make excuses emotionally or mentally for them. So I would block a lot of things, and it allowed them to stay around a lot longer. But when I woke up, oh, it was a new day, and I was very different. And that now that person wants me to be available, and I'm always going to be unavailable to them. But the difference is I let them know that, and now they don't know how to handle it. Not even as a friend.
Of course they don't.
Wow.
Well, wow. Yeah, I'm jumping on this one. Actually, there was an incident that happened, I want to say either last week or the week before last. And it was in a more of an emotional catfish. It was one of those situations where you meet, there seems to be good vibes and good energy, and then kind of the rug gets pulled out from underneath you, and it's like the woman basically said, you know, hey, you know, I like your energy, I just don't want to be like with you. I don't even know if that would be considered emotional catfishing or if she was just exercising a choice. However, the expectation, the underlying expectation that she had is that she still wanted to have access to me, to my non-sexual attention, and energy. And it came across as very one-sided. And so I just had to let that go. And I'm all about course correcting if there is something to correct, but yeah, when it's one sided and when there's not an honesty of intentionality, yeah, I just gotta hang that up. You know, that's not going to be something that I'm going to find fulfilling and want to subject myself to.
Yo, son,
can I add one more thing to this, though?
Can I add one more thing to this?
The person is always going to tell on themselves. And when this whole thing went down and it was exposed, then the person posted the actual dude in their story. Isn't that funny?
Wow. Wow.
Wow, man.
Wow. Yo, wait a second. All right, so hold on, let me rehash this and come back to it. So they went out on the limb, acted as if things were going to be a certain way, and then when they were done, they always had the dude in the background and then posted the dude.
Literally posted him in their story.
Oh,
yep.
Oh, that's
with filters.
With
filters, my nigga.
Oh, sorry.
With filters.
That's
did you just say with filters?
He said with filters. He said with filters.
Yep.
Wow.
Now, that's whack. That's super whack. I myself have been catfished. Way back in the day, I was we used to have this thing. I'm dating myself. We had the IRC, which allowed you to talk to people, you know, before we got to the modern days of everything else. So a young lady who was at a certain school had sent me pictures via snail mail, because that's what we were using back in the day, to send pictures. She decided we were having this really huge party on SUNY campus, right? So SUNY would have these huge, huge parties, big, large, incredible, right? Super dope. Everybody named mama from all over would come to these parties, right? It's huge, right? But she was like, I'm going to come visit you and go to the party with you. So I'm thinking the person who I see, there's like three people in the picture, but every picture that I got was like singular of this one person. So that person was very, very, very attractive, very buxom, very good looking. You know, I have to say I'd be on bullcrap if I didn't tell you I was salivating, excited to see this person. You know, and I had a single at the time, so I was really, really like, I was ready, right? And when she came and she showed up, she didn't come by herself. Number one, she didn't come by herself. She brought this 7-foot-tall dude named Swin and three other people. One, like, it was like, I don't know. it was like real, like they were an odd bunch, a super odd bunch, right? Because Swin is like 7 feet tall, and she came to me, and she wasn't the person in the photo. She was in one of the photos. But she sent me photos of her other roommate, and it wasn't her. And so she fully expected to stay with me and to bring her friends along with her. And I was like, no. And so my brothers Rasheem and Quincy would not, they would not let me live it down. They was like, yo, they can't even stay in the suite. They can't even sleep on the floor. Like, it was being super. They was like, no. They was like, no, what have you done? Why, Mahavi? Why did this happen to you? Like, yo, I couldn't. I was like, she cat, you know, why? I was like, she, you know, I didn't say cat that. So I was like, she duped me. I didn't know, you know, she's not this person. And so the plan was, which is fucked up, we had a fucked up plan, and we executed the fucked up plan. So what we did was, we went to the party, right? And so because we knew who was throwing the party, right, I gave Rob my money. I gave Quincy, you know. And so they paid for us to go in. We all go over to the party. And then we go to the party. You need someone to sign you in if you're not from that campus to get into the party. So we went into the party, and I was like, I'll be back. And I never came back. Fucked up.
Wow.
I wasn't a good person. I wasn't a good person. But she wasn't a good person for catfishing me.
Right.
And it was just bad. She had expectations.
Scamming and hustling, man. That was horrible.
No, because I knew something was up, because when she came in my room, she took off her shoes. She literally, like, came in, sat in a chair, and took her shoes off. And I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen. We're not doing this. This is not something that's going to happen. You can hang that up. This is not going to be a thing, right? And so that was probably the worst thing that had happened. Now, as far as emotional catfishing, I think emotional catfishing happens to everyone when people are not available. You know, basically, thinking of intimacy is emotional catfishing. There's a bunch of ways you can look at emotional catfishing, but, you know, I've done some reverse catfishing, though. I told people I was ugly, and they believed me. And then they were like, oh, you're not ugly at all. And I was like, yeah. I was like, oh, I'm ugly as sin. I've done that. It's bad. So you can blame me for that.
Never black and ugly as ever.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
There you go.
Nah, I'm just saying. I'm like, yo, you just remove the anxiety. I'm like, listen, I'm ugly. I'm ugly. Just know that I'm ugly. That's all you need to know. I'm like, I ain't nobody. All right. what you call it? All right. Let's switch topics. Let's move from here. All right. Let's go into this whole thing about What's a real man? What's a real woman? You know, you're not a real man unless you... Oh, you're not a real woman. A real woman would, you know, a real... How do we want to broach this? All right, because that comes up a lot of times. Usually when people are telling people, oh, you're not a real man if you can't such and such. You know, real men don't cry.
You know,
real men don't do this. Y'all can just hop in. Just hop in.
I personally hate anything, any conversation that starts off or contains the a real man would or a real woman would. Is it typically coming from someone who is hurt, bitter, or something like that, and they're trying to use sign language on you? They're trying to use the shame, insult, guilt to need to be right. And that's all it is. It's a shaming attempt to shame in order to gain some type of emotional leverage in order to manipulate you into doing something that that person wants you to do. It's completely disingenuous. And it is a complete disqualifier for me as someone who actually is trying to avoid accountability for themselves. And the easiest way to do that is try to push it onto somebody else. So if you that's the wrong conversation to have with me.
I kind of agree.
I do. I loathe it. I really do. It's sickening to bring up at any time. What do you consider to be real and what do you consider to be fake? Because I was always taught, man going to be a man, woman going to be a woman. Now, there's some crappy stuff that they can do. They can be irresponsible. They can treat you like shit. But that doesn't mean that they're any less of a woman or any less of a man. I hate that term. I really do. But I agree with what you said.
And for me, if you find the need to bring up that phrase in our conversation about somebody being a real man or a real woman, that speaks to your own insecurities. It doesn't speak to me at all.
Yep.
That's your own insecurities looking for somebody to make up the difference in what you don't have.
It's, you know, it's almost like a passive-aggressive thing. And, feel sorry for me and see my strength. Like, they're trying to prove something because they've been done dirty or, like you said, they've been hurt. And they want you to see only one side of the story and to take pity on them for it. It just don't work for me. It doesn't. I hate that term, a real man, real woman. What do you consider real?
Right.
Right. Just irritates me. I don't engage in a conversation with someone when they use that term because that is a no-win situation altogether. These people are looking for you to validate them some kind of way, to boost their ego, to help stroke their ego, help remove some of that pain. I can't do it. I cannot do it. Yeah, I just can't.
I think that, and again, I just kind of came out of that just recently myself. Not that the person did it to me recently, but I came out of the effects of it happening just recently. And I think that when that kind of I don't know what you want to call it, like a distinguishing kind of language is used. The person generally knows and loves you. If a normal person says that, it doesn't really matter. The person says you're a real man, not a real man, a real woman, he's like, oh, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? But if it's a person that you've been intimate with, and you really, like you really shared, you know what I'm saying? You shared emotions and you shared time with them. They know that your relationship is based on them seeing you as a man, you seeing them as a woman. So when they tell you that you're not a man or a woman, they know it's going to hurt you more than anything because now that basically makes you question everything you want with them. Mm-hmm. Really, you see me not as a man or a woman.
Yep.
We've been together for 10, 15, 20 years. And a lot of times, if you really trust the, if you trusted that person's advice, if you trusted their views, and, you know, you respected their views, they now telling you you ain't no man or woman, it really makes you question yourself. And sometimes I think that this happens when you leave a relationship and a person wants to make sure that you don't move on. So what they'll do is they won't necessarily attack your masculine, your masculinity or your femininity per se. They'll attack your sexuality. And they'll be like, you know what I'm saying, who's going to want you? You can't fuck or something like that. And even though you say it doesn't bother you, you start being really self-conscious going forward trying to talk to other people. But I think that what happens is that you have to go, and I hate to say it like this, but you have to go and fuck the shit out of somebody, and it'll get you totally out of that. You know what I mean? But in a lot of ways, you will have that, you know, you'll have that over your head for the longest time, because you'll say, deep down inside, you'll say, the person that I really gave my heart to, they think I'm not a man. They think I'm not a woman. And it takes you a long time to heal from that because you trusted their views. So, again, if I'm saying anything in this long-winded rant, I would say it doesn't really affect you when the average person says it, but it really affects you with somebody that you really, you know, you really kind of trusted and loved.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's a dig. It is designed to expose and take advantage of emotional vulnerability, especially coming from someone who does not have the skills or the intelligence to argue a point rather than arguing a person.
Right.
That's just a it's an ad hominem attack.
Indeed.
And as soon as you do that, you've already lost the argument. So now you're just trying to inflict damage on your way out.
Right,
and yes, that's really what they, you know, what they're trying to do, and so that's going to be where, you know, your shadow work comes in to realize and accept the fact that you're enough, and everything has its ending point. So, you know, if that relationship or if that interaction has come to its ending point, then nothing that happens after that is of any real consequence. You know, so you can kind of let it go as much as possible. You know, words can hurt, but only words that you ascribe value to from people that you ascribe value to have the ability to actually hurt you.
Right.
So, bro, that's a great point. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I was like wondering.
Somebody has a question, though.
It was weird. All right. So, ask the question, guys.
Somebody got a question, bro. Somebody got a question.
All right.
So this is Joan, and so I'm taking it all in. I've listened. I've heard you all. So at the point that the relationship is ending, and if you have a good relationship and you trust that person and they trust you, and it's just a matter of, hey, this is just not working out for us, and we're not going in the direction together that we separately want to go, right? And you say something, and not necessarily about masculinity, but it's, you brought it up as a point of trust. If you say to me, I am a man of my word, and part of the reason we're going in different directions is because you're not a man of your word, and is this my time to bring that up, or should I let it die? Because I don't want you to go into the next thing believing that you are something that you're not. Because here's the reality, I still value you as a friend. And so sometimes I think we question ourselves, because sometimes what that person is saying, it may not 100% be true, but there is some validity in what they're saying, because everybody who hurt us, they're not lying to us. Like sometimes words hurt because they're actually true. And I think that's when you really have to do the shadow work for that. Because when people that mean something to me say something about me, and they really speak to me because I know what they're saying is true, that is when it hurts me the most. If I know they're lying, I spend very little time questioning. But if there's a question in my head, it's normally because I've already questioned it, and now they've thrown the flag.
I do want to, if I can say something to that, I think that, I'm going to be very brief, bro. I'm going to be very brief. I think that it depends on how you say it. Because, like, I have exes that we have a very loving friendship afterwards, and they can tell me, well, I feel this way, or I feel that way, or I feel this way, I feel that way. I think when you style it and weaponize it, that's when it becomes what we're all talking about. When you say it in such fashion that it's, first of all, how do you say it? Like, non-fixable? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're always not going to be shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That kind of
right.
thing. And also, you make it seem like this person is intentionally like that, and that's what's messed up. But when you're saying it in a loving way, or you're saying it in a caring way,
right.
like, listen, you don't be keeping your word. I'm not just trying to say this just to be a jerk, but the reality of it is the problem I had with you is you wasn't keeping your word. So going mm-hmm. forward, you got to really try to fix that, because there's some lady out there that, or some man out there that wants to give you the world, and if you default on your world like you did with me, it's going to be a problem for you. I can take that. But
right.
I'm saying, look, nigga, you know, you're a lying ass, cheating ass, blah, 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 and your daddy was too, and all this other stuff. Like, that's the way in which
yeah.
it would make me a little bit hard for me to take it.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
So, what, Van, didn't you have something you wanted to ask?
Yeah, yeah. And that's exactly where I was going to go with it. You know, in the reference point that she's talking about, you're talking about a relationship that's dissolving amicably. You know, you
mm-hmm.
two are walking away,
yes, sir.
You know, with the understanding that, you know what, we just can't do this together.
Mm-hmm.
Eight out of ten cases are not like that. Because my ex-wife said some things to me that I will never forget because she wanted out.
Right.
And instead of it being this amicable agreement, it's never an amicable agreement because only one person wants out and the other person normally doesn't want out.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
who said it becomes this weaponizing? So you're
mm-hmm.
you're whatever you can say, and I would tell you, she said to me, "I hope I can say enough things to you, do enough things to you to make you hate me."
Ooh,
in front of my kids,
what?
Christmas
wow.
Day.
Wow.
Like I said, there are things that in the dissolving of that relationship, that marriage. That were said that were weaponized.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Multiple occasions.
Right.
Just
right.
so that she could push me so far away that I would not even want to be in her presence, and she succeeded. But if you're walking away and the two of you are in agreement and y'all just trying to dissolve it because you are better off as friends than as lovers, perfect. Then yeah, you should be able to talk to him as long as it doesn't come across as a weapon, like Dawu said.
Absolutely.
It's
how you present it. It's how you say it. If you're, like the gentleman said, if you are at that point where you can actually have that kind of conversation and you're not saying it to be mean and spiteful to make them feel some kind of way, it's an actual issue that you have. The way that you present it to them, the way that you say it, makes all the difference. So, yeah, you guys are right. I agree.
All right, so I want to hop in here real quick. Because my ex-wife and I said all the time. And she even told my son I wasn't a real man. And that she would teach him to be a real man. You know, so the toxic negativity of that particular statement, when you infiltrate it and you put into your, like me and my daughter are just getting right now, right? But there was a lot of toxic negative weaponization of emotions to try to control how she saw herself, to the point that she started to fight her mother's battles for her. Because she felt that she had to do it because she felt that her mother was helpless, which absolutely wasn't true. But in that sense of what happens when people use the term real, like everybody has said before, you know, I think it's It's an emotional negativity, transactional feature that people push for in order to make sure that they hurt the person that they hurt. Because like Dawu said, the gravity of what someone says when you have an intimacy with them is greater as opposed to someone you don't know. Somebody you don't know, you'd be like, fuck you. You'd be like, hey, well, yeah, I don't know you. I don't care.
Right.
You know, when it comes from that person who you've loved upon, loved through, those things, like, you know, it's that much more heavier, and it's even heavier to try to forgive it because you know that person knows the inner workings of who you are and your being, and it's that much heavier. Like, it's just like ugly and negative, you know. And you have to be conscious, because some people, it filtrates not just to you, the intimate partner, but also to the children, you know. So it's like, it's serious business when people say that, and they throw real in there. But real, that definition of what it is only limited to their experience of whatever they perceive real to be, you know. My father was a real man. Well, how was he real? Well, he had two families on the other side of town. He just paid bills in the house. He's stuck out the time. But he's real. Okay, I got you. Mm-hmm. You know, people use terminology loosely instead of saying, you know, like if I think it's somebody real, I say somebody who shows real emotions, real, authentic. Like, I like somebody who's authentic. Like, everybody on the war council, y'all authentic as fuck. Y'all are the most authentic people on the planet. Because y'all be like, I don't give a shit. I'm going to say what the fuck I'm going to say. You be like, I'm going to say what I'm going to say. And all y'all do it in y'all own different ways. You be like, yeah, no, you going to hear this. No, you going to hear this. Right? Like, Dawu gets me all the time, because he be like, you full of shit. And like, he'll say it. As soon as I say something, he know. He be like, you full of shit. He said, nigga, why you lying? He laughed because he did that to me the other day. He called me, so I was like, oh, you're right. But we all need friends that can chin check us by being real. So if we're being real, let's be real in authenticity. Like, be real. You know, not real men and women. Be real in authenticity. Be real to someone else. Be real in your actions. Be truthful. Be appropriate. Be able to talk. I think that's something that we don't really get into when we talk about real. But like, yo, you know, we say stuff like, oh, that's the realest shit I ever heard. I'm like, yo, that's the realest shit I ever heard. Because it'd be real. You know, when stuff be talking to you, you know, sometimes a song will come on, all that, it'd be real for you. You can get it. But we don't talk about that. It's whenever we look at that. That's why I was like, I love what y'all just said about that. Y'all said it perfectly. And we lost Joan, but she came back. We got you back, Joan. We got you back. You're here, right? Joan, you there?
I'm back.
All right. Okay. We're going to make sure. All right. So it's 10 o'clock. I got to make sure that I play. I just had it. I had the snippet ready and everything. Okay. All right. So we're going to take a brief station identification, and then we're going to take off the kids' gloves, and we're going to get into the real shit, and then we're going to talk about some of the stuff that was in the chat. I'm going to bring some of the stuff up in the chat, because y'all was going at it. Y'all was throwing bombs in the chat. I was like, God damn. I was like, it was like tennis with nuclear warheads. It's nice. I liked it. All right. This is a Tiffany Radio. Good evening. Hold on.
Take your saxophone.
Okay. Welcome back to Sapiphany Radio Universe. Welcome to War Council, Dating in Digital Age Part 2. We are joined by my esteemed colleagues here on the War Council, the Conscious Creative Panel of Creators, Mr. Wendell, Mr. Van Meadows, Mr. Wendell Berry, that is to you, Danielle Cheney, Ms. Lisa Lips, Dawood Muhammad, Quinita Ramel White, also known as Joan. We are all here talking about dating in the digital age, all right? Now, if you're listening and you have a question, you can text it to me on my phone if you know me. If you don't, too bad. let me sound like an asshole. You can actually hit me in my Facebook Messenger under my name, and you'll be able to send questions and everything else. So anything else that you want to do, any questions, any responses, anything that you want to talk about, you want to bring up, make sure you do here. Or you can call in 319-527-6300, press 1, and talk to the council directly. Here it is, and as we go. Now, we're going to move into our the second part of our thing, which is we're going to talk about, and I'm going to combine both parts, you know, because I think that they lead to each other. We're going to talk about dating broke. You know, have you dated broke? Have you dated below your income and your expectation? And what is the difference between truly being in love versus financial stability? And do people get married not for love but for financial stability? And how does that affect dating with intentions and bringing things up? They start laughing already. They're like, yeah. Listen. Feel free. This is a no glove conversation. Feel free to swing at everything that comes up. We do not care right now. We understand it is going to be a terse conversation, and it's about to go down. So. It's about to go down. All right, so let's talk about this dating below income and expectation. Dating broke. Have you dated a broke ass motherfucker, or have you been the broke ass? Because I know I've been a broke ass. So I can't really talk bad about nobody's situation. But have you dated broke? Have you dated below income? Have you dated someone whose income simply, you were unequally yoked? You wasn't ready. It didn't work out.
The income thing?
Oh, yeah.
I never looked at, okay, the only reason, the only time really finances came into play was when I was going to get married. Other than that, because I'm easy, it didn't matter where we went or what we did, as long as the energy was good. So, and I mean, I've dated a couple of guys where their pockets was kind of shallow, but I've never been into that financial thing like that, because I've always taken care of myself pretty much. And the dating, putting a price on it, you know, a date is just one way of getting to know someone, okay? Because you can go anywhere. You can make some sandwiches and have a picnic under a tree in a really nice park somewhere. You don't necessarily have to spend any money. And I know a lot of people don't think that way. That's just one of my quirks. But it never really made no difference to me, seriously. I did marry for financial stability because I needed to understand and I needed to establish that my husband-to-be was going to be able to support us. I had a baby on the way, and I needed to make sure that when I made this move with him, I wasn't pregnant then. I had intentions on having children, and I wanted to make sure this man was going to be able to take care of us if it came down to just him doing it, handling it. So that's pretty much as far as the dating broke thing. I hate that term broke. It's a state of mind. It is not the material worth and the financial thing. I don't want to say broke, but it's broke.
Anybody else want to hop in? Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, there have been times where I have dated or attempted to date, and I was robbing Peter to pay Paul to do so because I just thought that I would not have an opportunity due to timing, you know, with a particular person. But then I've also dated, you know, to the point where, you know, I know that I've gotten all my essentials, you know, taken care of, and any of my surplus I can put towards, you know, maybe taking someone out on a date. The issue there just is that becomes the budget, and then you kind of start thinking about, all right, what kind of experience, what kind of date can I do based on this amount of money that I have here, and what type of impression is that going to make, and is that going to facilitate the outcome that I'm hoping to have with this person, whether it's, you know, just trying to get the draws, or whether it's just trying to get to another date and actually build something more substantial. But I've dated, I've gone out with women who I would deem to be broke simply because they ain't never came out their pockets or contributed to the date. They just were, you know, it's like I was paying for their time, which really made me, you know, that actually made me feel a certain type of way, you know, because it's like, you know, you are reaping the benefit of, you know, my hard-earned money, and there's no real, you know, you're not showing me any type of appreciation, you know, in return. So it's a waste of money if I wanted something more than just, quote unquote, the pleasure of your company. It felt very transactional. And, you know, if you're gonna date that way, then you need to make sure that you got a surplus and that you're not and that you're not gonna miss it. But I don't think that very many people have money that they just want to, you know, just budget to throw away and not have any type of return on, whether it's emotional, sexual, or just reciprocal. So yeah, I've had that experience.
Okay, we did get a question that just came through. But I'm trying to see if he wants to come up. If he wants to come up and ask the question directly. If you do want to answer the question, good brother, all you got to do is just hit one and let us know that you want to come up. All right, he said no. But here's his question. His question is, he said, I've been broke and the females still wanted to get with me because they knew I wanted to work. Then they took my body and money because I was always the good guy. Freak that. I was thirsty. Was I whooping Panub in all the wrong places? You know? Good brother, you crazy. I'll read the question again. He said, I've been broken, a female still wanted to get with me because they knew I wanted to work. Then they took my body and my money because I was always the good guy. Freak that. I was thirsty. Was I whooping Panub in all the wrong places? That's my question. Thank you, great show. So, was he whooping Panub in all the wrong places, War Council? Was he whooping Panub in all the wrong places? Whooping Panub.
Oh, my God. I don't think he was looking. After a while, you recognize, let me just be frank, the bullshit in certain individuals, and that they're going to continue to bring it that way. You're just making bad choices, and they were your choices. If you want to say looking for love in all the wrong places, quite possibly, but I think you had kind of a codependent thing more so than looking for love. I think you had that thing going on where you have what we call a cat and saber hoe, syndrome where you wanted to take care of these women to, I think it made you feel a certain kind of way. It fed your ego. And even though you knew it was poison, you got something out of it. And that's why you kept on dating these particular women. So that's all I got to say about that.
I'm going to go in a different direction with that, because here's the reality of that. He got into relationships with people who probably had more than him when the relationship started, and then she wanted the return on what she invested. Because if you're driving my
car
for an interview, Mom?
He didn't say that, though. He didn't state that.
I'm saying his side of the situation is what he presented. So my idea is, he went into a relationship where he said he didn't have anything and they still wanted to get with him. And then when he started to work, right, they took, they used his body and his money. Well, at the time that he didn't work, what was it that this lady who was with him when he didn't work provide?
Okay.
Because I know a lot of women who will help men get them on their feet. And in the beginning, they think that they are building something with this person. And then, do y'all remember Bobby Brown in A Thin Line?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was basically building a nigga. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, right. I mean, you know, and sometimes, you know, we don't see it that way because it's us. But we don't know, you know, what her side of the story is, because they may have genuinely liked him, because like he said, he was really a good guy. But sometimes good guys, when they start getting stuff, they feel a little bit about sharing more. You know, like, you know, Michael Jordan didn't have a prenup in the beginning because he didn't imagine that he would become Michael Jordan. And then as he became Michael Jordan, sometimes the way we treat people is according to what we have. And I'm not saying that this is this young man's story, but I'm saying we're just automatically kind of assuming a little bit when, you know, it could be, like you said, a bad situation, but it could be a bad situation because of a number of things.
Well, he sent a message to me. He said, tell Danielle I did it for the nookie.
Well, then what the problem is? they could have been using you, then how would they using you for your body if you were doing it for the use of their body as well?
Well, this is
fair,
like,
yeah, but it's a fair exchange,
kind of like,
not robbery.
There's a couple of women that I listen to on social media. One of them being a sister named Love Dorsey. And Love Dorsey's philosophy encapsulates how I feel about men and dating. Love Dorsey always says, you should not date as a man until...
Until what? Say that again?
Until when?
We losing you, Double. I can't hear you.
Yeah, you got caught up in the matrix, bro.
Yeah, man. You went analog on us, brother.
Here we go.
You went analog.
Hello?
Not the analog. Yeah, now you, there you go. Come on.
Oh, so what?
You are
block
on
your comment.
Telling us what Love Dorsey said
to start over.
About dating as a man.
Somebody don't want you to say it. That's what it is.
Word. Dead him. You gotta have the bitch.
Oh, wow.
The Matrix got you again, bro.
Yeah, man. Big brother's watching you, bro.
That's a mighty word of God that's trying to come forth.
Yeah, when you tell them truth, honey, they try and shut you down. But he might be saying something very valid, and they don't want you to hear it.
It's like, don't date until you have arrived, until you're at a place of surplus.
or something like that, because there's no guarantee that dating is going to give you a return on your investment. I'm like, what is Love Dorsey saying?
It's not a guarantee either way. I don't think it's a guarantee either way, because you don't know how it's going to go. You can get serious into the relationship, and it can go awry. They can start, because people don't show their true colors right away all the time. Sometimes they wait until they get comfortable, people get complacent, and then they think, okay, I got this person now, I can show my ass. So there's really no guarantee at all. You know, you just got to take that chance.
Which goes into the whole thing about good faith. And good faith means you got to be willing to risk, and I think in all relationships, especially when you're dealing with money, that automatically brings in risk reward calculation, the cost benefit analysis. You know, is there a reasonable expectation of return on investment, and in what ways will that return come, and is it satisfactory? And with all of these risk levels, risk layers to consider, it's no wonder why people will come in with their representative instead of their authentic self. Dating broke only exacerbates that, because you don't really have a whole lot to risk in the first place. So it's going to hurt a whole lot more, you know, if you crap out.
You're right. I agree with that.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay.
All
right. Hey, can
you sound clear, so yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead,
what was Love Dorsey trying to tell us, brother?
No, I'm kind of in the woods. Essentially, what I was saying is that you should not date unless you have your basics. And if you don't have your basics together, how can a woman really respect you in the dating game? You got to have your car, your apartment, your job, and all that other stuff. And if you do not have these things, you really have no business dating. And it's not to say that a person is going to measure you that way, but I'm going to tell you, just like my Polish mentor told me when I first got into my industry, which is electronic security, and we were going around to certain installations I did, and I may have half-assed the installation, and he said to me in his Polish voice, he said, "Harun, people will judge you." And I just think that when you get into a situation with a woman as a man, and you don't have at least your basics covered, she has no choice but to judge you, and she's not wrong. So for me, I'm not saying this towards this young gentleman, but what I am saying as far as the broke thing is concerned, as a man, there's levels to financial stability and financial provision, but if you don't even have your basics together, you should not even be out here trying to date, because it's irresponsible. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
I agree, because dating most times as adults leads to sex, and sex leads to babies. And in Texas,
babies.
Yeah. Well, because once, you know, and here's the thing, a lot of times, once a woman's body learns how to have a baby, chances are she's going to have another one.
She's going to have another one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
And, you know, even when we think about hierarchy of needs, we have a desire to be physically touched when we feel the most vulnerable. We feel the most vulnerable when we can't afford shit. So that's just a catastrophe waiting to happen.
Okay.
Wow. So.
But as
a woman,
I don't want you to date me if I don't have anything either.
All right, so here's a question I pose. So let's talk about the homosexual, all right? And we're going to talk about it from the male and female. Why is it more acceptable for a woman to be a homosexual than it is for a man to be a homosexual?
It's
okay.
I think
okay,
it's more acceptable
you know,
for men for a woman to be
you know,
a homosexual, but
I
not
mean,
for other women.
There are some men homosexuals. Hey, I look good. You want a piece of this? Give me what you got. Let me come move in your house. Let me get all this other stuff, you know. And the hustle is just basically based off. And this is not my perspective. I'm just bringing this up. I'm playing devil's advocate. Please don't nobody get my inbox and start talking shit to me. please don't do that. But the female homosexual, right, who because she doesn't have to have anything, the value is placed on her sex and what she does. Now, I was going to put this other clip in there, but I knew it was going to be too explosive. It was going to be crazy explosive because it was a conversation between these young millennials. And the woman was like, she's like, literally, like, this person has built this corporation. And she's like, I deserve half of that. She said, because when you come home, you might have bought the home, but I'm going to make sure everything is clean. I'm going to make sure this. I'm going to fix your dinner and all this other stuff. I'm going to be on the phone making phone calls for you. And the brother was like, he was like, literally, he was like, your sex is not worth half my empire, you know. But at the same time, it's almost expected that that can get away with, as opposed to a male who has nothing that comes to stay with a woman. And, you know, we're going to revisit this when this comes up because, you know, we're going to talk about that article. Because this is my lead-in, right? So why is it perfectly okay for a woman who's a homosexual to do what she does and to place all the value upon her sex and her cuteness, as opposed to a man when he's not having anything and he has to base it on his character or, you know, dick? Can I get some answers, Boy Castle?
As men go ahead.
I was just going to say this. In a very, very simple sense, this is just an expression of the pure animalistic, Darwinistic relationship between males of the species and females of the species. This is hypergamy. Yep. I mean, this is the fact that due to the need for procreation, that women control who has sex. And all males desire sex, so women come to the market, the sexual marketplace, with intrinsic value, whereas males have to develop their value proposition over time. That's really what it boils down to. So, okay. If the female of the species, by virtue of the fact that she controls access to that good. And whether or not a male's DNA will be propagated into the next generation, that speaks to an intrinsic value. And typically in nature, the female will align herself to the male that is able to secure the largest territory, which means he has access to the most provisions, thereby making him more suitable as a provider and a protector for her and her young. Everything else societally that we build on top of that is just an exacerbation of that basic Darwinistic animalistic truth.
And the truth is, women, to a certain extent, most times, and I can't speak for all women, we innately feel as if you present us with something, it's our job to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
And that is literally why we make less money than men in the workplace, because we're not valued at the same level. Because the reality is, a lot of times in certain positions, we just work harder. We make it look pretty. We make it look better. That is the desire for women to be perfectionists by and large. More women lose their minds every year. We suffer from depression, anxiety, bipolar, all of these things literally based on the fact that we are chasing perfection. Mm-hmm. Men don't do that. So when you get a homosexual that's a male, he's literally just in your house drinking your kids Capri Sun. If you bring a woman into your house, if you bring a woman into, and I'm just going to say the average woman, she's generally not going to want it to be dirty. She's generally going to want to provide something, whether it's a meal. If she in there putting 2-pack of ramen noodles in some, she going to make you a hell of a spread, because we understand as women, this is what society expects from us to a certain degree. And here's the thing, from the time we're able to walk, we're nurturing something.
Absolutely. There's the key word.
I've very rarely seen a little baby boy trying to change a doll that looks like a baby. I only see girls doing that. And if we do see that, if we see a young boy playing grocery store, we, in our minds, start to live out his life for him. You know, so it is an exacerbation, but that's what makes it acceptable, is because women in our heads believe that if we don't have a job, we have to earn our keep. Men, sometimes, most times, are so wonderful in their establishment of ill-valued ego that they believe that if they come into this house, they are now the owner of this house, regardless if they pay bills or not, because they showed up with a penis, no matter how long it hangs or how short it droops.
Are we able to talk now?
Sure.
Okay. Much as I love you and the both of y'all and what y'all saying, I, Dawood Muhammad, must call bullshit. I spent my whole life taking care of women and children, and I am here to tell you there are many women who will lay on your floor and not do a goddamn thing. They will feature the vagina just like a man features dick. They will feature the vagina, and they won't do shit. So the idea that because women are raised to be nurturers and we ain't raised to be nothing, that there's, you know, that the homosexual woman is rare, I call bullshit, because not only have I seen it in my personal life, but I know a lot of dudes who deal with homosexual women. And the reality of it is that if you're a caretaker, you will invariably attract, whether you're male or female, into your frequency, a homosexual male or female. There is a litany of homosexual females. You have to look no further than my good sister, Brittany, whatever her name is, that trapped that NBA player and said it's stepdaddy season. What the fuck is that? She said it's stepdaddy season. I'm looking for as many stepdaddies as I can. If you don't believe me, Google it. This is the Instagram model that trapped off a dude, had a child by him, got rid of him, and is now dating a famous rapper. There are women like this that run from men to men, and the only thing they show up with is pussy and good looks. They do not nurture. They do not clean.
That's it.
They do not cook.
That's called.
They do not do none of that stuff. And the idea that that's rare, I am sorry, with all due respect, is bullshit. Because there is a lot of women out there like that.
Bro, that what you're describing is called monkey branching.
Wait. Monkey branching.
Yes.
Monkey branching is
in the wild, you know, how monkeys can, you know, swing from tree to tree and branch to branch. That's exactly what he just described. She's swinging from one branch to another branch, one man to another man, in order to access the resources that are available in that particular tree. And we've seen all kinds of, I mean, Instagram models, and what's that one girl who did the interview with the Eight at the Table, Blue Jasmine.
That's Spanish chick.
I mean, she got clout. She got clout for that, and had such a sense of entitlement, though.
But who gives her the power is what I'm saying. Here's the thing. Men are not trees. So we can call it monkey branching if you want. At any point, you can put your arms down and you don't have to accept her. But the fact that men are still seeking these women, they are still allowing these women to come into their lives, they are putting value into those type of women.
I'm not trying to justify or vilify. I'm here just stating that it is from the perspective of a female homosexual to a male homosexual, that this is an example of a woman who is leveraging her innate value to the sexual marketplace in order to advance herself, and it is not only accepted but applauded and lauded. However, if you flip that coin, a male who, by whatever means, was enacting his plan to be a homosexual is not looked upon with admiration.
Thank you, bro.
In that society, he is a bum.
Thank you.
He is a loser. Yeah. He is a deadbeat. He is all of these different things, and you know, call it right, wrong, or indifferent. That is an example and an expression of the natural Darwinian order.
I gotta hop in because we have a comment that came in. All right, it's a comment, no question. Running from man to man wouldn't work for me because dick doesn't work without the emotion. If it doesn't have it, then I don't want it, thus eliminating a lot of potential madness. Oh, no, if emotion doesn't exist, then it says, okay, all right, I got it. Let me reread it because they sent the correction through. It said, running from man to man wouldn't work for me because they're a woman. Because if emotion doesn't exist, then I don't want it, thus eliminating a lot of the potential madness that might have occurred. And the monkey wrenching, I guess, or anything else that's going on with a male homosexual, you know, if there's no emotion there. But, I mean, could we count Stedman, Oakley Stedman, as a homosexual? Could we count him?
No.
No, because
I'm just throwing shit in here. Don't pay me no mind. I'm just...
Stedman works, he didn't come to the table with nothing. Yeah, she just happens to be a billionaire, that's all. But he has his own. She just takes care of him because she wants to, and he does accept it, but he handles his business. So, no, he's not a hobo. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah,
but,
I mean,
but
that...
would woman be considered dating below?
Like, that could be considered
at what
point,
dating below. Anybody she date is going to be below.
That's the truth. It's not going to be many that can be at her level.
Okay. Yeah.
Hmm. And you know, take a look at Mary J's ex-husband.
Her man.
He would be lumped in that category, I believe, because he would be viewed as a user, and a hobosexual is by implication a user. They are exploiting some aspect of the person that they're with for their personal gain, i.e. a place to live, and whatnot. So, yeah, you know, in that regard, yeah, he would be. But again, you flip that coin, you know, and let it be, you know, female of the species in place of a male. And there's a completely different societal response to it. So, you know,
I don't know if it's completely different because I remember when Michael Strahan married the lady who was a perfume sprayer at the counter, people lost their shit.
Yeah,
people lost their shit, you know. And I think that sometimes, and I'm thinking about in the case of Mary J. Blige, because I'm a little black girl from the hood. Mary was a little black girl from the hood. What I'm naturally attracted to, because that was what I saw every day, if I try to date there now, I'm going to say 85% of those guys would technically be beneath my earning, my education, whatever it is. But if but that would be what I'm attracted to, or would be what is attracted naturally to me, because we're from the same place and there is a commonality there. So I think that social influence makes a difference. Because even when we talk about what society views acceptable and unacceptable, I worked at a prison for a lot of years. Well, I worked with prison releasees for a lot of years, and who I would see waiting in the car for them, picking them up on their first day out, was a woman, allowing them to live with them, no questions asked, and regardless of conviction, you know. And that is, in some people's lives, normal. Hmm. It just is what it is, you know. Yeah, and those guys are not viewed as a homosexual. They just so-and-so, they went to do their bid, and now they out. And now he got to get back up on his feet, and he going to start off here and, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's just life.
I wouldn't consider him a homosexual. That's just someone that's needing another chance in life. A homosexual to me is some man or a woman that's just been out there leeching, period. They've never had anything going on. They didn't run into a rough patch. They just, that is their intentions from morning till night. That's what their life purpose is. They're just the leech, period. These men that are released from prison, for whatever the reason was that they were put in prison, they're getting another chance to start in life. They have a goal set. They have a certain mindset where they want to do something with their lives. Well, some of them. I can't speak for all of them, but I don't consider them to be what you would call a homosexual, because you have to have been a leech, period, in order to, because that's what a homosexual is. It's just a leech, man. They don't have intentions on doing anything.
Yeah. It's intentionally using someone for what they have for your personal benefit. Like there's an article, I think it was in Time. I've heard it referenced on social media before, where in a survey, you know, that 60, somewhere between 60% of women who took this survey admitted to going on dates simply to get the free meal. And, mm-hmm. and they would actually plan out their social calendar and fill it up with dates so that they could eat free for the week or for the month. To me, that is homosexuality on the female side, and but it's a part of the game. It is acceptable, whether or not it is endorsed or embraced. It is a part of it, or at least it can be widely a part of the game because of the inherent value that the possibility of sex happening is there. And if that's being leveraged, she's leveraging her sexual marketplace value in order to get something that she wants without intentionally, with no intention of fulfilling her quote-unquote side. And this is not to say that women are obligated to sleep with men who take them out to eat. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that when you have no intention of developing a relationship with someone and you are using them for their resources, then you're a homosexual. That's not a good way to be if we're trying to have a civilized society, or if we're trying to, you know, say that there should be some type of balance. You know,
I have an indirect homosexual experience I had. Not a direct, right. Indirect. Before we get off this subject, it's going to be real quick. I was talking to somebody, and they had children, and they had children's fathers. And to be very nice, the children's fathers were not very responsible, weren't taking care of the situation. So when I was talking to said individual, I asked said individual, the questions that you're supposed to ask the person when you're not trying to let somebody screw your financial life up. So I said, you know, what do you think about, at this point, having children? And they said they'd like to have maybe one or two more. I said, wait a minute. You're in a situation now where your children's fathers are not helping, and let's be very honest. You are fucked up in the game. So now you are saying you want one or two more? I said, do you understand that bringing another child in this world is bringing them into poverty? And that person said yes.
Wow.
Really?
I was shocked.
Wow.
They said, let's bring the person into the world, and we'll figure it out. I said, let's play 68, you play 69, and I owe you one. Because I am damn sure not going to, number one, participate in that, but number two, it becomes very much more serious when you think, like, wow, you are intentionally bringing the child into misery. Because let's be very honest, there's a lot of love in poverty-stricken families, but it's miserable. And if you could avoid it, you would. If you could avoid bringing your child into a disease situation, a crack house, or whatever, you would. So why would you bring a new child, two new children, into a situation where you know there's going to be poverty, and you're putting financial hardship not only on yourself, but your new partner? And that person said yes. There's a lot of people, men and women, that think like this, where let's just have children, we'll figure it out later. And it doesn't matter how many children that they bring into this world, they continue to do that. I think that that is most prevalent in the black community where, you know, for all intents and purposes, a woman may be in poverty, a man may be in poverty, and we still bringing children into this world. And it doesn't matter that you got to continue to recertify or get benefits or whatever. Let's just figure it out. And to me, once you learn or once you've been through a couple of years of not making ends meet, being behind on your payments or whatever with your children, you should learn from that and not try to bring another child in that situation. But this person looked me dead in my face and said, yeah, I think that we can do it and figure it out later. And I was like, I don't think so.
I know that's right.
So that's an indirect sexual situation.
Yeah, I was about to say that. I was about to say, run. All right, so I gotta interrupt.
But that goes
I gotta interrupt. Hello? I want to table the comment because we got some, you know, a question that came in. We got to do this question, and then we got to segue into that article, the marriage article, which is perfect because we're talking about homosexuals, and it leads up to it. So the question is, why do men pretend interested when all they want is sex? Women can be the same way, but for the most part, women look for love, and men look for sex. Why do men pretend interested when all they want is sex? And women can be the same way, but for the most part, women look for love, and men look for sex. It's a question, War Council. Let's take three or four responses and move forward. So, anybody want to take that question?
Well, I'm 41, and so I'm in the first generation of women who are definitely looking for sex, and they are done with love.
Right, all right.
Did you just say that they are done with love?
That's what I said. The majority of women that I know, if they are not married, they're not having any kids, maybe they're going to brunch, they're taking cruises, they're going on trips, and if they meet somebody and he a good life, great. If he call them, cool. If he don't, that's fine. On to the next one.
Sad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Obviously a loaded question.
Matter of fact, let me throw this on Van's doorstep. Van, what's your answer on this?
Let me hear the question again. Let me hear the question again.
Van, been quiet this whole night. I said, Van. So the question is, why do men pretend interested when all they want is sex, and women can be the same way, but for the most part, women look for love and men look for sex.
All right. All right. Primarily, some men are only interested in sex because that's what women portray themselves as, sexual objects and sexual beings. Certainly, if that's not what you are looking for, then don't come out the house half naked. I'm sorry. Not sorry. Don't be this quote-unquote Instagram model, but then wonder why someone is only inboxing you because they want to have sex with you. Men are very visual creatures. We are visual, okay? You are going to engage our eye gates with what you have on, with how you present yourself. So to me, when you show me that, I'm on a question, are you for the streets? Because if you're for the streets, that's what you're showing, you for the streets, then don't be upset because I address you as you're for the streets. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to go from you to Lisa because Lisa's been quiet too. So, Lisa, how would you answer the question?
To jump on what Van was just saying, the eye candy thing kind of goes back to the last topic as well, because if a guy really likes what he sees and she pops into his life, then her homosexuality is worth it to him to have that piece of arm candy. So a lot of times you set yourself up for that. But the whole idea, I would think the whole idea of being out here is to find something real, but most people are looking for what it is that they want in a society where whatever you want is what is important, and whatever anybody else is affected by it has no bearing on you. That is where we are nowadays, and a lot of people are out for themselves, and they don't care how it affects the person that they're involved with. And that's why we have all these issues from the start.
Wow. Double wow.
I mean,
all right.
This is
hopefully, matter of fact,
it's
crazy. Because honestly, I think that like Jones said, women are more liberated sexually, and I think that because of our patriarchal idea of how we perceive sex and how it's supposed to be done to our religion, our how we're raised, the conservatism and our upbringing and how it permeates everything that we do in our personal culture. Also, Joan, I meant to tell you, the thing about the social contract. Oh, we got to talk about that because that, like, I got so many questions about what's a social contract? I had to explain it. not making fun of anybody who didn't understand it. I'm just saying, but I got it like four times today about it. Anyway, but in dealing with that, how people perceive of things and what they think of it, it all comes into play. So let me put this up. What'd you say?
Nah, bro. You know what, man, this whole patriarchal shit, women like the fuck. Why can't we just say that? Why we always try to say one side likes one thing and one side doesn't? That patriarchal shit gets on my nerves, yo. Because we all like to fuck. Perioso. And for
we're
some
supposed
reason,
to like to fuck.
Some of us don't want to admit it.
But
well,
we are put here to procreate.
That brother got knowledge. You're speaking facts right there, bro.
Yo,
now, some of us believe,
listen,
and here's
I just
the reality, they're hoes if they say they like to fuck and they don't have to love you. That's automatically the way it goes. You become a monkey when you say those things.
But the reality of it, because I wasn't finished, the reality of it is that we all do, and it depends on what stage of your life are you at. There's some stages in your life where you're just trying to fuck, and then there's some stages in your life where you're looking for love. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's okay. That's okay. And I think that the older you get, the more honest you become about what stage in your life you are. The younger you are, the less honest you are, because society has taught you to play games, according to whatever. But I think that once you cross 45, you would tell somebody, hey, I'm in my fucking stage. Are you down for that? You'd be like, listen, I've had enough of that.
Yep.
And I'm trying to look for love. Are you down for that? But I think that we are trying to, like this article is trying to make these distinctions that are not fair to women or men either, because I think that it goes according to your life. When you get to be 60 and your sex slows down, you don't want to die alone. So, yeah, you got no choice but to look for love. So it depends on what stage in your life you is. But to throw this whole thing on patriarchy, to me, I got to call bullshit again, because men and women, like, I go on Facebook, I get so tight when I hear, fuck sex, but you have you this, fuck sex. Nobody wants to fuck sex. What y'all talking about? Every time you see a meme, it says, fuck sex, but have you got shot? Or, fuck sex, have you put on a red shirt today? Can we take the fuck sex out of it? Because we all love sex. Every last one of us. And the thing is, I think that one thing I do agree with what you said is religion has demonized sex. I know that because I used to be a minister. And
boom.
We preach
I'm
against
right
sex
you,
when we all really want it.
Mm-hmm.
We all really want it. And so what ends up happening is when you try to let yourself go sexually, you got all of this preaching that is in your head that makes you feel ashamed of how freaky you're trying to get. But in reality, once you get away from that, life gets better for you, because inherently we all want to work and we all want to fuck. Every last one of us.
That's true.
That's true.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Let me finish my statement. There's something wrong with women who say it when they're 19, with women who say it when they're 25, with women who say it when women say this to when 19-year-old women or 25-year-old women or women who are Instagram models say, listen, I'm trying to fuck myself into the best possible position. Everybody is up in arms and all alarmed, and she shouldn't have said that. But when a man who has plenty of money is trying to fuck her in any position, no, everybody is, hey, that's what he can afford. And so that is why we talk about things being patriarchal and women having intrinsic value, because whatever it is that pits us against each other is what sells. It's hot topic. But as you get older and you surround yourself with like-minded people and people who are non-judgmental because they've done their fair share of fucking, then it changes up again. I think that's the reality. If I surrounded myself with only church people who are still ashamed of the sins that they have had and they have done, then it's going to be problematic. I'm the big A-ware for them. But as I find my circle and my group of people who understand that this shit is going to happen. Sometimes you're going to fuck and you're going to like him and he's not going to like you back, or he's going to like you too much and he might stalk you a little bit. Whatever. All that shit happens in real life.
Right.
Yep.
And
that, that's what it goes to. I got to throw the question in here. Sorry. So someone said, bottom line, men lie about their affection to get sex. Women give themselves to gain that affection. That's their statement. Anybody agree or disagree with that?
Yeah.
That's true. A lot of people.
I can agree with it.
So men lie about affection to get sex, and women give sex to get affection. But I think men may give affection to get sex, and women may give sex to get affection. It's cyclical. But again, the way that the statement has been posed, it is casting the male in a less morally acceptable light.
Yep.
And that is the part that I don't like, because there's truth to the statement that men will make themselves affectionate in order to gain sex, and there's truth that women will use sex in order to gain affection. There's nothing wrong with that, because that's a statement of fact. But the implication that men will lie about it without giving any credence to the opposite side of that coin, the shadow on the opposite side of that coin, is disingenuous, because it paints men in a negative light.
Correct.
Well, in reality, she may be using her sex to manipulate her way into
getting emotionally fit.
Exactly. But that's not what the, yeah, what the original person's statement even referenced. They didn't reference that at all. So it was castigating men and demonizing men for a natural desire that is inherent to all human beings. And that's not right.
Scorpio warning. Let me fix this statement for you, sweetheart. The niggas you like lie about sex to get affection. Yeah, I fixed it.
Boom. All right, wait, real quick. We got 90 seconds to the end of streaming. If you are listening to this conversation, you are streaming, you have 90 seconds. Call the number. All right, the number is, 319-527-6300. 319-527-6300. The Blog Talk Lady will be cutting off the live streaming at 11 o'clock. You got 60 seconds. You've got a minute to get in here. We're going to finish up this conversation because we got to get to the thing. You got 60 seconds to get it done. This is Epiphany Radio. This is the War Council. This is a hot topic and good goddamn conversation because my inbox is blown up. Make sure that you get in here. Make sure that you call this number, 319-527-6300. Press 1 if you want to be heard. We're going into overtime, and we're really going to let it fly because we got this one big topic that we've been trying to get to all night. We're going to get it, but this is all a great lead into. And for the record, just to answer, I know a lot of women who are now like dudes. They go and pursue the penis that they want. And once they get it, they're done. They're done with it. They're like, thank you. I had the experience. It's nice. I might call you. I may call you. I may not call you. And they're not interested in connection. They just like the sex. And actually, they be mad. And they be like, yo, this nigga's in my inbox crying. He's in my DMs crying. You know. Hold on, physical. Let me cut this off. All right, he's in my DMs crying. This is happening. He's too emotional. He's too emotionally involved. I just gave him some sex. He doesn't know how to act. You know, I know a lot of women who are very liberated, and we shouldn't even be mad about it because women have rights to everything that we have rights to. Period. But they're like dudes now. Like they're like, yo, they sit around and they be like, yo.
And I resist that.
They give out dick reports. The dick report is a real thing.
Yeah,
you can get a good dick. You can have a good dick report. You can have a bad dick report. There are women who give good penis to another friend. They be like, look, you've been getting bad dick this whole time. Let me send my little plaything over here to fuck you. You need that.
Mm-hmm.
It happens.
Yeah.
It's real shit.
We do it.
You know, you can act like it doesn't happen, but I've seen it personally. So
I have passed off one or two. I ain't gonna lie, I have passed off one or two.
It happens.
Yeah, girl, you need some, here you go.
Yeah, he's gonna be like this.
For me to withhold him.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what he was meant to do in that stage in his life. That was his greatest asset.
The problem with it, though, was that when I passed it off, he got caught up and was all thinking she was going to marry him and stuff, and he wasn't worth it. And it took her to get put out of his house to figure that out.
Damn, God. We all make bad moves.
All right. I got to answer this question out loud. So the person who's sending me this question, are you asking about the men on the panel? Because you know, that's a Pandora's box. I don't know if you want to open that box. I don't know.
Wow.
I think the general question is good. Pandora's box is bad. General question good.
I think you need to keep it general.
Oh, okay. Well, listen. All right. So for the men on the panel, okay.
Yeah.
Yes, many women will manipulate men with offering sex, but let's talk about you men in here on the panel. What is your goal in dating?
Oh, boy.
People be throwing grenades.
All right.
Fucking throw the grenade. I don't give a shit. Throw the grenade at them.
Can I say, oh, my? Should I say, oh, my?
She want, they really want to answer this question.
I want Wendy to go first.
Sure. Shit. I'll get nothing alive.
Fuck it up.
I just turned 45 years old, so age range was just previously alluded in a comment. Yes, I am seeking genuine, authentic relationships and connections that can involve sex, but don't necessarily have to. But I'm not ashamed if they do. So, yeah, fucking is one of them. You know, I like to fuck. I like sex. But, you know, I don't necessarily want that to be the sole activity and sole basis of the relationship, because nothing that's built on I don't think that that's going to make it long-term sustainable. But then at the same time, not every relationship needs to be long-term and sustainable. Relationships need to be for what they are for. And a big part of the problem is a lot of times people try to make something that is designed to be one thing into something else and then get mad when it doesn't turn out the way that they want it to. So,
come on, Plato, yeah. It's not real play. Yeah.
Yeah, just because you want something don't mean that's what that needs to be with that particular person.
Hold on. I'm gonna bring in a person because I guess they want to ask questions in live time, but I'm gonna give you about two questions.
So
we're
not all gonna answer that question.
No, we all answer the question.
Yeah,
I'm just saying,
I need the other brothers.
But I'm gonna bring in the person who asked the question.
Hello.
Leah, are you there?
Yes, I am.
So we're gonna answer the questions. We're gonna answer the questions, but you know. My, that's personal.
Well,
you know, when you ask questions, you got to answer the questions back. So when people reflect that upon you, you know that, right?
Sure.
So you know, you just be like, hey, I'm gonna come here. No, you got to answer questions too. So we're gonna answer your questions, and then we're gonna ask you some questions.
Okay.
Are you ready? You sure?
Yeah. All right.
So we're gonna finish answering questions, and we're gonna ask you some questions. All right. Who's next? Van, you want to go next?
Sure. Why not? At 47, gone through two bad divorces, my intentions on dating right now is companionship and to have a good time. Am I dating for a long-term relationship, for some type of commitment? Not really, because I don't trust anybody, and that's period. You know, when it comes to women, a lot of women, not just my ex-wives, but have shown me how untrustworthy they can be. It doesn't matter whether it's in a relationship or just in their intentions. I've had a lot of women approach me in terms of dating, but because I refuse to accept the fact that you're good-looking, you have a pussy, you have tits, you have an ass, none of that is appealing to me. What's going on inside your head? What is your long-term goals? All of those physical attributes are nice. Yes, I do love sex. I love sex. But I'm not going to put myself out there to just have sex with you just because that's what you want or you want money for sex. No. So that's my
But don't
my
you
answer.
Think that we could say that on both sides, that there are
Hold on, lady A, everybody answer the question, because we got a thing we got going on here, and then we got to get to the article. So we're humoring this because it was answer the question, but we're not going to pervert where we're going real quick. So Dawood.
Yes, sir. So
would
the question
like
is, what
question?
Am I dating for? Okay, so what I'm dating for now is a long-term committed relationship.
And when I say long-term committed relationship, I mean the type that that person has a key to my house. And I'm at that space now because I've already done the short-term dating and the other stuff like that. And so for me, that's pretty much what I'm looking for. But that person has to be a spiritual woman, and they have to be a person that is has no fear and inhibition with affection. And I don't mean specifically sex. I mean affection, period. I know being into astrology, there's certain signs that are not inhibited, specifically cancers, but not excluded the cancers. But I know that there's a lot of women who they project a affection to get you, but they're not very affectionate. And I've, through my dating experience, I've learned to sniff that shit out from a mile away. So if you think you're going to fool me with it, it's not going to work. And I could see the red flags, you know, a mile away. And so for me, that's what I'm looking for. Because in my life, I've been a caretaker. I've been an emotional caretaker, whatever. I'm at the place now in my life where I'm looking for somebody, not that wants to take care of me, but wants to emotionally reciprocate. That's what I'm looking for. And that person could get whatever it is that I have from me if they show me that they can give me that. And like I said, I want a situation where it's committed, it's closed, and, you know, the kind of situation where you got the key to my house, I got the key to your house, and I come home and you there. You understand? And so for me, that's kind of what I'm dating for. I don't think I was always dating for that, but that's where I am now.
Great answer.
All right. All right, all right. For me, I have to be connected to the person, and I believe that connection is the most important thing that you can have. That person absolutely has to be my peace, has to be well within my heart, well within my mind, and make me feel them on every level. And this person has to be amazing to my mind. It doesn't matter what the physical looks like. It matters to me what they make me feel, how they make me feel, what it is that they do that causes me. My heart should feel at peace. I should feel safe. I should feel all these things, because emotional security is a real thing. You know, and when that person is in my number, I want to feel like I can do everything and nothing at the same time. I want to be able to laugh. I want to be able to joke. I want to be able to be affectionate. I want to be able to access all levels of who I am as a being with that person, and not for a person who's to be needed, be needy towards that person, but to actually see that person as a whole, and we're combining our wholes to become something even greater. So to me, if I'm doing something, it's because it's worth doing. It's not worth wasting my time. It's not worth being willy-nilly or such. I'm a bit of a chucklehead in a lot of different ways. But if I miss you, if I care for you, if you reach me, if you can hit my wavelength, if you're on my wavelength, I fucks with you. Hard and heavy. Easy. Like, you know, even if I don't see you, you're in my heart. You're in my mind. You're around me. You can feel me. I'm a big believer in the transfer of energy. It doesn't matter how far you're away, that energy will always transfer. So it's really dope. So that's my intention. My intention is to always have the most beautiful exchange of energy with that person, because the energy leads to so many other things that hit so many other different levels all at the same time. And it's beautiful, all of it. Okay, Lady A, we all answer. All the men answered.
Yes. And
now,
and
here's your question.
All of you. But it's rare.
Why is it rare?
It's
not rare. It's not rare.
Sure it is.
It's where you're at. Maybe where you're at.
Oh, yeah. No, but I mean, Van said, you know, he shies away because he's been hurt and he has trust issues. That's his experience. My experience has been people being insincere. And, you know, that's
and I'm not saying that all men are like that. I mean, I apologize if that's how it read in my questions. I don't mean it that way. I really don't. But what you were saying, it is very rare. There are not a lot of men that think that way. There are not a lot of men that are sensitive that way. From my experience, from my friend's experience, it's very rare. So what
okay.
you're giving
so what
up,
is it that you are looking for?
Somebody of equal mind and somebody who is sensitive, who's interested in me so that we can be interested in each other. I think a lot of it is of the mind. I think that respect is a big thing. I think affection is a huge thing for me. I starve for it. And over the years, I mean, when I was younger in particular, I made a lot of mistakes looking for that love. I still feel the same way about it. I think I have an idea. I've experienced it before. I had real love at one time, and I would like to have that again. But it's very rare. It is. It truly is. And I don't know if it's because we're poets.
I have a question.
Yes.
So me, Dawood Muhammad, I do domestic violence classes, and I also do Facebook Lives on what's called conflict and relationships. And what I found out was that just like there's four stages of grieving a death, there's also four stages of grieving a relationship. One of the stages is the depression stage. I'm not going to lie, you sound like you're in the depression stage. So my question to you is, do you think that you have grieved enough to look for what you, or to seek after what you're looking for? Because it sounds to me like you're in, and I'm not saying that as a disparagement, because I just came out of the depression stage in the wintertime. It seems to me like you're still in the depression stage grieving your past relationship. Do you think you're in a position to receive the kind of relationship that you are talking about on this particular show?
Yes. Yes. You know, I know what it's like. I had it, but I want it again. I mean, there's and as far as the sexual part of things, I think as you do get older, you lose your inhibitions, and I feel that way about myself. But it's not the be all and the end all. And that's what I find is that it's with other people, with men over the years, that it's been the be-all and the end-all. That's all they think about. There's so much more to love and affection and a relationship. I think sex is a great, huge part of it and a wonderful part of it, and I love it. But I think that if you don't have a kind word, if you don't share the same interests, if you don't share the same passions, I don't think you really have anything, you know, like just what you were saying, Mojave, the last bit, it was amazing to hear a man say that, to hear even you guys, like when you do your poetry, to have a man speak their emotions like that is highly attractive and rare. It's rare. I remember one time we were all in the nurse's station, and a friend of mine and I were talking about a book we were reading, and one of the doctors came in. He was doing his charts, and then he chimed in on the end of the conversation, and he said, "Oh, I read this great book." First of all, number one was like, "Oh my God, he reads," and second thing he said was, and at the end I cried, and I thought, "Wow, like he's got real emotions. Very rare." In my experience, it's been very rare. So when I hear you guys speak this way, I think it's fantastic, first of all, and that you're in touch with yourselves and are able to express that emotion in the ways that you do. It's enviable. Like, I mean, I would give my eye teeth for it.
Well, listen, I understand exactly how you're feeling and definitely what you're saying, but what I'm saying to you is that here on the War Council, and I don't want to overspeak or overstep my boundary, but you're dealing with men who are emotionally actualized and able to express themselves freely. And it's not really rare. We're just men who've evolved to that point to be able to speak that freely. And the best thing about it is that we can converse with each other because it's something, but all the men, and there's more than just us. It's not just me. It's, you know, there's... There's JG. There's a bunch of us, right? But the thing is that it might be in your experience to not be in an environment that might permit that because of how certain things are being for you. So it's like, it might seem rare, but it might just be where you're at, or it might be the way certain things are connected. And I understand that you might want to give your IT for it, but trust me, there are men who are like that will express themselves. You know, me, myself, like I could tell you right now, like somebody can give me a gift and I get overwhelmed with joy because I lacked that growing up and I deal with it all the time. So when somebody gives me a gift and it's earnest, it really touches my emotions in such a way. But I developed that. I didn't know how to say thank you in my early years. I didn't know.
Love and affection, huh? Because I got none growing up. I never had that growing up. And
but
so
that's
it means
what I'm saying,
a lot
but you can
to me.
Develop it. Well, all I'm saying, I'm going to the point to tell you that because we have to finish our portion, but I'm telling you is because you can develop it. It can happen. There are things. All I'm saying is stay frosty. This is the War Council. Come to our podcast. Listen to it. You'll get this. This is good stuff. You know, seek people. Seek help. Seek therapy. Do all these different things. All of these things to add to you, invest in you. And your emotion, and your emotional balance, and who you are as a person, and you will find your spirit will lead you to the people. It's like a tuning fork. It happens. You're here on this. You're learning all this stuff. You're opening yourself up to listen. You never know what can happen as long as you invest in you. That's all I'm saying. You know, as long as you invest in you, your emotions, you seek the help, you get the things done. These things will happen as you move through these different states. You're going to, you know, once you get past your grieving, your depression, you're going to be open and ready, and it's going to happen, you know, but you got to be open to the experience and willing to invest in yourself in order to do it, you know, because to me, like, I love love. I love love.
Yeah.
You know, and I know when love didn't love me because I didn't love it because I didn't love me. And so when you start to love you and push yourself more, these things will come back and will come to you. But we got to get on to our next segment because we got to go, and it's a school night. So.
Thanks.
No offense. Hang tight. Hang cool. But we got to get to this joint that we got to do. All right. So. All right. Hold on for 1 second. Now. All right. The piece de resistance. What we've been talking about. And I got another thing in the parking lot, but we'll get to it after this. All right. Now, I posted it in the event page, and I also threw it in the back channel for the War Council. Right. And so, and it's talking about why advice doesn't reflect the basic psychology of men or women. All right. Let me see. So let's start from, all right, so there's this famous YouTuber, right? And it's the tall guy car review, right? And so, and it says, ladies, I'm here to tell you the 100% truth. There's nothing you can do to make a man love or want you, nothing at all. There's nothing you can do to so-called keep a man. I really hate that statement. That's what she wrote. If he didn't want you to begin with, please read carefully. If only women knew the scientific truth and sincere secret that works per science, men don't operate like that. All that bad advice is what you got you hating men and being angry with men. Look, if having a man's baby doesn't make him want you, nothing will. So much bad advice. This is why women often complain about all the things they do for a man, only to be dumped or boggled that a man is not being wooed, or receptive. You cannot woo men like women. Men and women are different. Take the case of the tall guy car review. He's a famous YouTuber. He's a famous YouTuber and very successful. I'm very happy that he's found love and happy with his new life. But did you know that he had a relationship prior 7 years to where his ex helped him tremendously get his business started, which is now worth millions? Again, this is no disrespect to him and his new wife, and I mean that, no disrespect. I used to watch him way back in the day. And to think that he was with his ex, I won't say her name, out of respect for him and his new wife for over 5 years. She helped him when he was fresh out of prison. He used her good credit to start his business, and she basically gave him the foundation to help him get his business and his dream off the ground. What was the issue? He made a video, now deleted, that he didn't want kids and didn't want marriage. He said he told his ex from the jump that he's not the marrying kind, that he never ever wanted kids or marriage. This was the main source of their breakup. He wanted to move, and his ex, who had already been with him for years, said she's not moving unless they get married, and he refused to marry her. Now, this woman did everything for him, capitalized everything. She was good and a supportive girlfriend. When someone asked, how did you start your business, he said, get you a girl with good credit. If she don't have good credit, let her kick rocks. Ladies, I'm very happy that he has found his love, and I'm very happy that he's for his very beautiful wife, Jasmine. It was a gorgeous wedding, and marriage is a holy and sacred sacrament. God bless. But this teaches you a very important lesson. Men don't fall in love with what you do for them. They fall in love by what they do for you. Besides being very beautiful and very attractive, what does current wife do to get him? Nothing. But being her wonderful and sweet self. She didn't prove her worth. She didn't bring anything to the so-called table. She didn't help him build his business. When a man wants you, that's all that matters. He saw her. He wanted her. He wooed her. He got her. It's really that simple. And that's how it's been for thousands of years. Men didn't need much to choose and pursue a woman. He saw a very beautiful woman with a very beautiful smile and a good heart, and that was it. His wife was also in a past relationship for 8 years prior, and it didn't work out. And the year she met, dated, got engaged, and married her best friend and soulmate. No disrespect to her ex, I can almost guarantee you he isn't half as successful as Corey, a.k.a. Tall Guy Review, and yet he didn't marry her, and Corey did. Never judge your worth off another man's rejection. Jasmine saw him, asked about him, messaged him, and they spent the first night laughing. In a year, he met her, got engaged, got married, is in love, and is planning on having kids. What changed? He did. But no one can do that. Only a man can. There's no special sex move, no special meal, no special words that convert a man from one who doesn't want marriage to one who does. A man has to want that first. It's not your role to beg and convince. As a certified relationship coach for 15 years and a life coach, I see it all the time. When women get married quickly to a good man after wasting decades, or women break up after years of relationships only for their ex to get married quick. Men aren't pets. They can't be kept. Think about it. If men are supposed to be dominant and are supposed to be alpha, it's about him wooing and pursuing you, period. You can't keep a man who doesn't want to be kept. You can't make a man marry you if he doesn't want marriage. Women, on the other hand, have very high emotional intelligence output. That's why you see so many beautiful women with unappealing men. It's because a man's wealth translates to care and affection. Have you ever wondered why so many beautiful women date men you consider unattractive? Yes, it's money. Well, it's the science for money that breaks it down to women. Why do women care about money so much anyway? Why do women date a not-so-good-looking guy for money? What does money do for a woman? Well, it's the signals that she will be cared and provided for. All of these are emotionally receptive ways. A man will never be wooed in being with a woman he finds terribly unattractive. It's extremely uncommon and rare because men are not emotionally wired that way. Men are not chasing attractive women who have lots of money and education. This is no disrespect to Corey and Jasmine. They are gorgeous and very good-looking company. God bless again. But why will a man never be wooed by a woman he finds terribly unattractive? Why? Because a man's natural primal instinct is not to be cared for and wooed. All right. I said enough. All right. So I wanted to set that up so that everybody could see this and hear it. All right. So...
Shit happens,
but
life
well, I mean,
it's about the choices
it's
that
life.
We want to make.
Because we're talking about homosexuals, he's throwing all this stuff around. You know, homegirl hoped to get his business together, and then he's like, "Y'all might have no kids." And he meets this woman, he's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna marry you. We gonna have kids. It's gonna be good."
I said I didn't want kids
for a long time. And then when I met my husband, after we got married, before we got married, I had a desire to want to have children. So, I mean, you could say what you want, but things happen, life happens, and things change. Your thought patterns change. Your goal that you have set changes. The way you feel towards someone sometimes changes. You never know what's going to happen. So, I mean, yeah. It is what it is. And there are men out there that want to be kept, okay?
Yes,
like
there are.
Henceforth, the word homeless, sexual, or whatever the hell that word was.
Homosexual.
Okay. Okay.
Homosexual.
All right. Homosexual, homeless, sexual. There are men there out there that want to be kept. But the way that we have been groomed from a very young age, men are taught to take care of the woman, and women are taught to nurture and take care of the home. And that's just the way it is. This thing about what she said as far as the man doesn't – what she said, the man doesn't fall in love with you for what you can do for him. It's for what he can do for you. I think because the males are groomed at such a young age to take care of a woman, to be the provider, that, yeah, he finds that the need for him to be there is what draws him in and keeps him in. So with him taking care of, I can kind of understand that. But it goes back to
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
happen. Life happens.
Go ahead. Go ahead, lady.
I'm a registered nurse, and my colleagues, you would not believe the percentage of women who are registered nurses who are the money makers. They are the primary money maker in the family, and how many of the guys that they're married to and are unequally yoked in that sense that you were talking about earlier, homosexuals. There's a tremendous amount of them. I have a friend of mine that used to work in North Carolina, and one of the statements that they used to was a common thing to pursue was a nurse with a purse. So there are men that like to be kept out there, lots of them. And I think we are digressing into the war between the sexes, and I think we can both say on both sides we experience these things. It doesn't mean that they're all like that, all men are like that, or all women are like that. It exists, to be sure. And I think we have to build on the truth of real people's relationships and their emotions and their feelings and their honesty.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Wow. Gentlemen,
I mean, listen, there's 7 billion people on the planet, and it is unrealistic to think that everyone is going to at all times be the potential great, you know, perfect match for everyone else. So, yeah, life happens, and people are going to be where they are for as long as they're there, and you're going to have the opportunity to intersect with people at different in their personal journeys. And the question is, are you intersecting with them at a point that makes the situation ideal or workable for the two of you? And in this article, you know, there was a point of intersectionality that was not where the brother, you know, needed to be to make a long-term decision about marriage for, you know, for his life. And that's okay.
Whatever the
implication is that the author is making about the general expectations of why men do what they do, you know, it you can't live your life in generalities. You have to live your life for yourself, and you have to do the work of navigating your life in a way that works for you, and you learn the lessons of life as you experience it. But projecting onto an entire group of people some type of modus operandi that you have packaged in order to sell a product or to market your services, you know, can end up doing more harm than good, because you're teaching people to look at other people, not for who they are as individuals, but to, mm-hmm. to compare them to a blueprint and a map of what you have deemed to be valuable and acceptable for to make sense of your own life. And you know that's not authentic. That's not genuine. Let people be mm-hmm. who and what they are, and you decide. Use your volition and your choice and your autonomy to decide if you want to walk down the path with that person. And if you do walk down the path, you get to decide for how long and when you want to take another path.
Huh.
And that is the purpose. Of relationships, in my opinion, not to try to put people into a box, but to accept the fact that people are walking their path, which may not include your box.
There you go. It happens.
And I'll say this about having children. Having children is such a, it's one of the largest things that we are put on the planet to do. It's a job that never, ever ends. You know, it transitions mm-hmm. a bunch of times. And just the level of responsibility that you have with a person. There are many people in my life that I've come across, and we talk about intersectionality, that I have worked well with, that we have started businesses, that we have promoted things, that we have been in sisterhood and brotherhood and all of those things together, that I have sung in choirs and duets and all of that. And just because we do these things well together, it does not mean that we should want to have a baby together, because babies mm-hmm. grow up to be actual full humans. And sometimes you meet a person, they are wonderful, they are dynamic, but that is not the person that you want to have a baby with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
If I don't want to have a baby with you, in my mind, I probably don't want to spend the rest of my life with you.
Yes.
Because I understand that if I have a baby, to some degree, we're going to be connected for the rest of my life. So
yep.
when people
yep.
say, you know, there are people that say, I don't want to have children, and I don't want to have children for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. There are also people who should say, in my personal opinion, I don't want to have children with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because that gives the other person a clear view of where you are. I don't want to be connected to you like that for the rest of my life. I just don't.
Mm-hmm. That's very that's damaging.
I can get a divorce.
That is so honest.
I can get a divorce, but I cannot, you know, to a certain degree, leave my child behind. Like, that's not something that I think most people who are within their right frame of mind desire to do. They're, like, I can't think of a person who is teetering with 72% of sanity who says, I want to have a baby and then leave it. Like, I don't understand, you know, I don't think that exists. So if a person does not want to have a child with you, in my head, they probably don't want to spend the rest of their life with you, or they want to spend the rest of their life with you, and they know that having a child with you would ruin that.
Wake up, Mojave.
I'm not asleep.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but that's very damaging to say, I don't want to have a child with you because I don't want to spend the rest of my life with you. You got to be very careful about that, because even though that person may not want to continue that relationship, the other person more than likely does, and affairs of the heart are very tricky. You can say that to a person, and they'll be damaged for life behind that. They will second-guess themselves about any potential. It may be the truth, but that doesn't mean that it necessarily has to be said that way, especially if that person is not questioning whether or not they're going to spend the rest of their lives together. You got to be very careful with that statement right there.
So there's a way to be honest, and there's a way to
right.
be, and you can be honest, and but you can be sensitive. But you don't Absolutely. Want to sacrifice honesty on the altar of sensitivity, because then you True. End up with miscommunication. Stop you leave man, room for misinterpretation.
True.
So
that is true.
You can if you are owning your experience and saying, you know what, with where I am in my life, I do not see us having children as something that I want to do. No disrespect to you. You're a great person, mm-hmm. but I do not see myself wanting to have children with you. Is a perfectly fine way to make that statement to where you're not mm-hmm. trying to damage the other person, but you're also not giving them false hope that there is
right.
something that developed that is not going to happen. And like I said, that's why honesty is so important. People don't want to be honest.
Right, and I said a third thing. I also said I don't want to have children. I may want to spend the rest of my life with you.
We can't hear you, sweetie.
I said I may want to spend the rest of my life with you, but I don't believe that having children is what's best for us if that's what we're going to do. Because every married okay. couple does not make great parents, you know?
What? Right. Mm-hmm.
There are some things that we just, as a married couple, there are certain things that we may not be able to do together, and having children is one of them. And I think that sometimes we lump all of that together. Like, if I want to be married, then I want to have children. Or if I want to be married to you, then I want to have children with you. That's not always the way it goes. And I know couples who are like, hey, my wife did not, I wanted to have kids, and she didn't want to have kids. And because she didn't want to have children, we didn't. They still married.
Okay.
Well, wow. Dawood. I don't know if he's here.
Yo.
Yeah, so what's your opinion on it?
To be very honest with you, I've been talking to my son the last couple of minutes. I don't necessarily know exactly what y'all were talking about.
We were talking about the article on marriage. You know, where somebody like...
Say it again. Somebody like what?
Basically, the idea that if a man wants you, there's nothing there's nothing that you could do about it. Like, I mean, in the sense, like, you can't keep a man, you can't woo a man. You know, what it is that drives a man to date with intention of marriage.
Well, first of all, I think that, again, as we said on various war councils, I think we're redefining marriage in the whole, like, what you call social contract or how we engage each other. I think we're redefining that. And I tried marriage, and I tried to swing for the fences with marriage. And what I found is that the woman that I dealt with started out with good intention and then switched up the deal. And, you know, having children with somebody, you have the reality of it and you have the fairy tale of it. The fairy tale of it is, you know, you get married, you have children, because all my children were born inside of wedlock, every last one of them, all five of them. And I thought that I was going to spend the rest of my life with the woman that I had the children by, and because, you know, I have five children by two different women. And I thought that I was going to spend the rest of my life with the woman that I had children with. It just didn't turn out that way. And it was heartbreaking. Because it's one thing to have a child and love your child, but it's another okay. thing to love the mother of your child, and the love that you have transfers down to the children, and then it mm-hmm. goes up and it goes down. You understand? They watch mm-hmm. you love their mother, and then, you know, at the same time, they get to see the both of y'all love them. But in my experience, I had to love my children outside of the household, and that really broke my heart, because I didn't see it like that. I didn't have children with the intention of loving them outside of the household. There's things that my children went through as a man over the years. It breaks my heart, because as men, we love children different than women do. It's not better. It's different. And mm-hmm. as an emotional protector, when I find out that my children went through certain things that I couldn't protect them from, it breaks my heart to the point where I almost cry. Because I'm like, damn, I wasn't there. I wasn't there to save you from that. I wasn't there to help you from that. And your mother was there, or your mother wasn't there, whatever it was. I'm not blaming her.
But what I'm saying is that I felt like it would, I would have had a better chance of protecting you from whatever danger you was in if I was there, but I wasn't. And, you know, all my children from my first marriage are grown, and, you know what I'm saying? So now they're telling me certain things that happen to them when they're young, and I almost have to stop them from telling me because I'm like, damn, you went through that? And I have to carry that for 2 to 3 days saying, damn, I was not able to protect you from that. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, one of my children, I won't name because, you know, I don't, I mean, their mothers don't listen to this, but one of my children was telling me that they stopped talking to their mother in the fifth grade. I was like, what? And that child is 23 years old.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? Mm. So then they was telling me about how, you know what I'm saying, like their mother was taking the side always of the school, and their mother was really, you know, when they disciplined them, that their mother hit them hard. And I was like, damn, you know what I'm saying? Because I stopped, you know, I do, I ain't gonna lie, like the gentleman said earlier, I spank my children, but I feel like if you discipline your children earlier, the older they get, you don't have to discipline them. You ain't gonna be hitting no 15-year-old or no 16-year-old,
yes,
you know what I'm saying? And so, but that's what was transpiring. And so for me, it's like, you know, it's just, I don't know, like when we talk about marriage and we talk about having children, the fairy tale side of it is you have it, you know, you marry somebody, you have children, you love them, and you. But that is not how society is working out today. And I would rather not do that shit. I just would rather not do it. I'm not saying that I won't get married again, but what I am saying is that I have to know that if you want to marry me, that you're not marrying me to appease your Facebook friends, or you're not marrying me because remember, and I'm very humble about this, but I'm somebody. My name rings bells. So I've seen in a lot of cases where there's been women who I legitimize your name because you fucked your name up, but when you get with Daoud, you now have a name. And it really wasn't about loving me and you fell in love with me and you're attracted to me. It was about if you show up with Daoud, people are going to give you respect. Man, fuck that. You know what I'm saying? Because the reality of it is that how long is that going to last? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And what I found is, like, it's like anything. Like, when you have a name and somebody tries to get with you for your name, they end up getting jealous of it and they start competing with you. And I earned my name. I sacrificed my young life to have my name. I literally, my name is Daoud, which means David, because 16 dudes showed up to my door and tried to threaten my life over my teacher. And I stood up to them, so I was given the name Daoud like David and Goliath. That's how I got my name. And so, therefore, like, I put in work for that name. And I'm not saying that you should not be able to benefit. Of course you should. But that's not the reason why you should be with me. And so, for me, it's very complex, and it's been very complex. It's not as easy as me just dating somebody, and we're going to fall in love, and that's it, because there's so many factors that I have to peel away to see if your intentions is true, that just the idea of marriage is the farthest thing from my mind right now, because I just want to build an honest, loving relationship with you where we can communicate with each other. And I know that you love me for me, not for the concept of I'm with a guy with a name, and that's going to legitimize me.
Wow. So, listen. Bricks, haymakers, see the air missiles. We weren't even supposed to go this long. This is horrible. And yet it's so good.
Yeah, it's all good.
It's all good. Let me get to this. I'm trying to find, because I was messing around. All right. Hold on for 1 second. One second. I got to pull this up. Hold on. All right. So, I'm pulling this question willy-nilly from one of my conversations. It said, all right, so the person is involved and everything else, and they said, I don't know if I've ever been in love.
Wow.
Well, they haven't lived much, have they?
No, they live. They live. But they said, you know, so I'm just going to give it the war council treatment. He said, and I'm just going to pull this from the conversation. I said, some people are just going to fill our heads till the day we die. And if we let them and never show genuine love, I believe what I wrote to be true. I've doubt I've ever known real love. What?
Okay.
So we're talking about dating and everything else, like this dating with attention or that. All right, we're gonna end the war council with this. What is real love? How do you know what love is? How do you know what love is when you see it? How do you know? What's it smell like? What does it taste like? How does it hit your taste buds? What is real love? So we swinging axes. Let's swing the big axe before this. So let's swing the big axe. Let's go at it hard body. So let's go from top, quick answers, because we only got a few minutes to go. I wasn't even supposed to be here this long. It's all kind of crazy. I'm past my bedtime. I'm drugged up. I've been drinking too. It's bad. I was drinking on the low. It was crazy, but it was so tasty. So let's go to Mr. Berry. Mr. Berry, what is real love?
So real love is an acquired taste that develops, that your familiarity with it develops over time as you get glimpses of it.
I need you to get to the meat and bones, man. I need the corned beef hash on this, brother. You got to get to it. You eloquent as hell, but I need the quick answer, bro.
What is real love? Real love is a commitment that is undergirded by emotion that intensifies over time if it's done correctly.
All right.
That'll be how I say it.
All right. We're going to land a play on that one. You're still eloquent as shit. You know, I just want you to understand. You're super eloquent. Like, everything this motherfucker says, it sounds like silver coming off his tongue and shit, bottom of my hammer suit. Just move. You know,
wow.
You like a Michael Jackson's woo and a James Brown. Like, you know, it's good. It's good. All right. Van Meadows, what is real love?
Real love is giving up of thyself for the sake of another individual without losing yourself. And basically not walking away for the sake of selfishness. You have to be unselfish. You know, I'm still looking for that. Because what I thought was real love wasn't real love. So, but yeah.
All right. Lisa Lips, what's real love?
I don't know if I'm equipped to answer that, because I don't think that I've ever had real love either. I am a person who gives their heart freely, but I don't always get that in kind. So, you know, there have been people that I had love for and people who maybe had love for me, but I've not experienced that kind of love where you want to sacrifice everything for it.
Okay. Danielle, Ms. Cheney, what's real love?
Real love is so many different things. It is a selfless act, but it is also knowing what to sacrifice and what not to. It is giving, did I say that already? Being very selfless, but you are also doing things and taking care of things and people without looking for payment in return. It's just so many things. It's the openness, the willingness to work at whatever it is that's going on. Man, it's just too much to cover, really, when you talk about real love. because, like the gentleman said earlier, man, it depends on the person and what they are getting into, what they're putting themselves into, so to speak. That's all I'm doing right now.
So we're going to go from you. We're going to go to Joan. What's real love?
For me, hold on. For me, real love is consistent, constant, conscious effort to evolve emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Consistent from one person to another, like an exchange. That's for me.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope. All right, we're going to go to Dawood. What's real love?
What is real love? What is real love for me? Real love to me is total transparency between two people. It's the emotional nakedness that two people can have. And I think that if both people can have emotional nakedness, then that in and of itself, you can really solve almost any problem. But I think that what happens is in most cases, we all find some reason to cover something up. And I do mean we, because I do myself, and we all do. And I think that real love can only be had by two healed individuals. It cannot be had by one damaged individual, one unhealed individual, and one healed individual, because that's not real love. Because you don't even know what love is yet if you're not healed. You couldn't see it if it fell on you, and you couldn't utilize it if you're healed. So if you're a healed person, you should actually be a little bit more selfish with your love and try your best to only deal with healed people. I think the problem with a lot of us is, because, you know, I went through this hang-up with, my kind of disdain for why chicks choose certain dudes and don't choose other dudes. But what I realized is my terminology for what they chose was wrong, and what really it was broken individual. And so, for me, I can't, you know, because I used to say, well, if you like street niggas, you don't like me, because I'm not a street nigga and blah, 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 blah. But what I realize now is if you like broken dudes, you don't like me. Because if that's what you attract, then my behavior is going to be foreign to you, and either it's going to make you feel intimidated, embarrassed, or it's going to make you feel shy to be emotionally naked with me. So I got to make sure that you are healed and you're seeking a healed man, because both of those things are important, and then we can have real love. If you're not seeking, even if you're healed, if you're seeking a broken dude, that still disqualifies you to be with me, because I don't display broken dude behavior. And so to me, real love is two healed people in emotional transparency.
Okay. Mm. Wow. Mm. Ooh, throwing some axes. I'm gonna just answer real quick. To me, real love is connection. It's energy. It's the truest form of everything, because it extends beyond the physical. It's when you wake up in the morning. It's when a person can permeate their dreams with their essence, and you think of them all the time. Literally, like everybody else said, the sacrifice, the willingness, but it's also the knowing that you yourself are whole and you love yourself enough to be able to extend that love to another person.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the most important things about love, is because in order to love someone fully, you have to love yourself completely so you can love them fully and completely. And if you don't have a lot of self-love, real love can't happen. And I think a lot of times we get into the whole thing about what we think we want this and that, but love is the truest form of the transparency and the sacrifice, as everybody else says. You know, as we're baking this cake, the realness of it is us being real about ourselves and what we do to take care of ourselves in order to have the love. When you love yourself, love automatically comes to you. You know, like I know if I love someone, it's because I want to be with them. I want to spend my time with them. I love them for who I love them. If I miss them, I miss them. If I think about, to me, if I say to somebody, I'm like, hey, you know what? And it's, you know, it's anything else. And I know we were talking about the thing with kids, but if I can see me procreating with you, oh, I love your stinking ass. You know it. I love your stinking ass. If I can literally pick up and do shit that I'm not supposed to do. But anyway, enough of that. Ben Meadows, can you tell us what's happening in Pippi Radio Universe? Please, thank you.
Absolutely, it'd be my pleasure. Join us tomorrow night for the Love Zone with your host, Miss VIP and La Perla Negra. Thursday night show is going to be the Get Down with J-Rob, the Wise Son, and yours truly, Poetic. Friday night is going to be Express Your Vibe. Stay tuned with Miss VIP. For Saturday night, it's going to be Let's Talk About It, where we do date night differently with yours truly, Poetic. Sunday night's The Inspiration Factory with your host, Paul Sampson, Divine Inspiration, and yours truly, Poetic. Monday night show will be Raw with Rain with your host, Rain. And then next Tuesday, we'll be right back here with Mojave with one of his shows, War Council of Five Speakers. It's not War Council. We're on tonight's Five Speakers.
That's so disrespectful.
You know, happy
like,
Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, all that good stuff. One of his shows. He just got so many. Just pick one. Just, you know what?
Whatever
just come.
Whatever
just
that dude is doing now.
Mojave.
I don't know.
Mojave, back to you.
Anyway, we'd like to thank everybody who came out to War Council. We'd like to thank the esteemed panels, the guests, the questions, everybody in the inbox, everybody who stayed to the end. Come through. We're going to have something more interesting for you at the end of this month. So with War Council, it's going to be some real shit. We always do. It's going to be good. Stay tuned. Make sure if you want to join our War Council group, make sure that you consult me or one of the other members of the panel lab is being there. We'll get you in there. It's a very small group. We don't care about numbers. We care about quality. We care about the quality of the people. We're not trying to just make groups just to make groups. We make groups that make motions, that make things that count, that put into action. Thank y'all for coming. I love everybody on the panel. Thank you. Y'all are so fucking dope. This playback is going to be crazy. God bless y'all. Good night. The Blog Talk lady is going to kick us off right now.
Good night.
Good night.
Peace. Good night.
Peace. Good night. Good night.